RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times bestselling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio on Radio MD.
Okay, Michelle, you and I both procrastinate, right? To some degree or the other.
Okay, me so more so
the
than
answer
you,
is yes. The answer is yes. Okay. But are we mindful? Are you also trying to practice mindfulness too?
I don't even know where to begin with that one.
Oh, it's a hard one. So there is a connection between mindfulness and procrastination. And our go-to expert is once again Dr. Timothy Pitchell, who is nationally recognized as one of the great experts in all things procrastination. He's got a new book coming out, Procrastination, Health, and Well-Being. And good grief, the Bible on procrastination is Solving the Procrastination Puzzle, A Concise Guide to Strategies for Change, one of my absolute favorite books, which is also on Audible, so go get it. So, Dr. Pitchell, what is the role of mindfulness with procrastination? How do you begin?
Well, it snuck up on me. Back in 2006, I had a student who did a lot of meditation. He did it because he was attention deficit disordered. And he found it very helpful, and he said, I think this would be big for procrastination. I had my doubts. We ran a study, and sure enough, there was a very strong association. So it piqued my interest, and since then, there's been a few studies done on it. Sure enough, if you score higher on mindfulness, your scores on procrastination measures are lower. But the story gets more interesting than that, because then when you start digging into the neuroscience of mindfulness, you start to understand why that's the case, and I'm more than happy to tell you that.
Well, tell us. Come
okay,
on.
Okay, I just
Michelle
just
and I are
yeah.
sitting
Why
here. At the...
want to know.
All right, well.
I know, inquiring.
So the thing with, procrastination, and I'm not sure too sure you're such a big procrastinator, but in any case, the big thing with procrastination is it's an emotion regulation issue. It's not a time management problem. It's about managing our emotions, because with procrastination, we use it to cope. We're having negative feelings about the task at hand, and we give in to feel good, and we take the short-term reward. So if we're going to conquer procrastination, we have to have better emotion regulation. And that emotion regulation is what, in so many ways, mindfulness is about. Because if you even look at the first definition of mindfulness, it's this non-judgmental awareness of your thoughts and your feelings. Our brains are made to think and feel, and we do it constantly. And in fact, the limbic system, this older part of our brain evolutionarily speaking, is really quick, and it's just pumping out the emotions. In fact, if I could put a screen over your head where it showed me all your thoughts and emotions, I'm sure you'd shut it off because you'd think you're positively crazy, and we're all like that. So we have to learn to become non-judgmentally aware of our emotions so we can have emotions without being our emotions. And that's where it all happens. And from the neuroscience, and looking at functional magnetic resonance imaging studies where we actually can take a picture of the brain in terms of blood flow and then start to speculate about what's happening, we see that with mindfulness meditation, the amygdala, that little almond-shaped part of our brain that's known for its response to stress and fear, starts to shrink, and the connections between it and the prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that's responsible for organization and thoughtful impulsive control and that sort of thing, actually weaken, and the prefrontal cortex gets thicker. So these are neuroplastic changes we see to mindfulness meditation that starts to really explain why it is we would see this association, as we have in our research, between greater mindfulness and lower procrastination. Make sense?
That does make sense. So I have a question. How can we use emotion to stop procrastination?
Well, first of all, we have to do is recognize that we're having a lot of negative emotions. And I'm not sure we can use our emotions unless we start to cultivate other emotions. So it's obvious for me that I might be having anxiety, or sometimes it's just frustration, resentment, and boredom. I hate this task. I can't believe I have to do this. Why did they make me do this? And instead now, I can cultivate competing emotions like interest. Interest is an emotion, just like fear is an emotion. Fear, we know, is fight or flight, and interest is approach or avoid. And so I can, and this is what we would call a volitional skill, start to think of ways of how am I going to make this more interesting? I'll make a game out of it. or I'll bring somebody else into this project who I enjoy being with. So I have to find ways to cultivate these positive emotions because they will replace the negative emotions that are quick to arise. But typically,
I like that because you're switching out. You know, you're actually just trying to literally reframe it and have those emotions duke it out. You want the positive ones to win over the negative ones.
Well, yeah. And I think there you made a good point, Tim, because I know for me, I'm a better partner. I'm better at getting tasks done when I have someone doing it with me. That's a huge, huge piece of this, which I hadn't even thought about. So it's great. That's a great suggestion.
And that works in so many ways, too. And sometimes we become accountable to others as well. So we initially bring them in to make the thing more enjoyable. But also, it also helps us because it creates an environmental affordance. In other words, it's something we'll live up to now that on our own we might have shirked away from. So lots of positives there. But I would go back to the notion that I don't always try to even just cultivate positive emotions. I just recognize, you know, emotions come and go. And if I can just wait this out, I'll get past it. But if I leave my chair right now in reaction to those emotions, if I be every emotion I have, I'm never going to get anything done. And that's why mindfulness is such an important route to lowering procrastination, because we learn to better manage our emotional state.
So why do we have such negative reactions then to things on our to-do list?
Because many things on our to-do list we really don't want to do. And in fact,
amen.
They're a drag.
Yeah.
They're a drag, baby.
Yeah.
Man,
some
who wants
that
to do
was easy to answer.
Yeah.
Let's
some
go
of them
shopping.
We just take off. Well, that's it,
that's
too.
That's my distraction.
It? Yeah, my sister calls it retail therapy. Yeah.
Oh, amen.
That's
love
right.
It, love it.
and that's a,
I'm all
and
about
it can be
that.
A good thing. Yeah, unless you're spending money you don't have, and that's where retail therapy and procrastination have a lot in common. Some people spend money they don't have, and with procrastination, we spend time we don't have. And again,
ooh,
both of those are
great idea.
Are trying to feel good in the moment. The last thing you want to do is buy something you can't afford, and the last thing you want to do is waste time you can't afford, because you can't replace it. So they have a lot in common. But, you know, on our to-do list, there are things that we look at and we just shake our heads. Sometimes that's a symptom of, you know, I'm not living the life I should be living. Like, why is this even on my to-do list? Now, some things we can't remove from our to-do list, and we have to find ways to cultivate interest like I talked about earlier. But sometimes when we procrastinate and we look at our to-do list and it makes us just cringe, that's a kind of a wake-up call to say, yeah, it's time to make some change.
I love
that's
it.
Really,
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So we have limited time, speaking of time now, and so can you just throw out a couple tips about how to be able to turn it, I don't feel like doing it, into an I'm going to get this thing done now?
Okay. Well, I face that all the time. I don't feel like doing it. And the first thing I have to say, like I say to my children, I didn't ask you how you felt or what you want to do, because on any given day, this is never going to be high on your list. So I move from thinking about feelings to thinking about action. What's the next action?
I love it.
What's the next action I could take? And I mean tiny little action. If I think about the whole task, it overwhelms me, just overwhelms me. So instead I say, what's the next action? And sometimes that can be, I have to go find the phone. If I'm going to be able to dial that call, I can go find the phone. You see, and once I got the phone in my hand, while I'm on my way. But if I think, oh, I got to make that phone call, I just stay where I am because it's too abstract. Make it concrete.
I love it.
Yeah, and so
I love it. And so, you know, really, what you're doing here is switching out that feeling. It's like I didn't want to know your feeling anyway. Into a real action here. I think that is a fabulous tip. I want all of you out there in her radio land to just take and run with it. We've been talking to our go-to expert on all things procrastination and distraction, Dr. Tim Pitchell, who's the author of the brand new book, Procrastination, Health and Well-Being. And then, of course, The Bible, Solving the Procrastination Puzzle, a concise guide to strategies for change. Thank you, Dr. Pitchell, for being on her radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
I love that. Actions, not feelings. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And if you have a health question, you can email us at askher@radiomd.com. Stay well.